Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We're going to head off momentarily to the River Cree Resort Casino hotline. But not before we tell you that Brian Lawton, our next guest, is brought to you by our friends at Wow Factor Desserts. Help yourself to irresistible dessert delights at their new retail location, 3508 56th Avenue in Edmonton, or click on wowfactordesserts.com. Brendan, we did not mention this. The Iron Sheik has passed away at the age of 81. A guy that had a great Twitter handle. And a real good heel in the days when wrestling had a significant market share in the United States. Like, that guy was a good entertainer. He brought it.
Yeah, well, he's certainly a legend, a Hall of Famer before my time, definitely. But I love that he was able to remain relevant with that wicked Twitter presence that you mentioned.
Well, the irony of this is we're going to head off to the state of hockey, Minnesota, where they had a former wrestler as a governor, Jesse the Body Ventura. And I don't know if he ever wanted to go into politics, but we're going to welcome back to the show for Wow Factor Desserts, Brian Lawton. Hello, Brian. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic, Bob. How are you?
Good. Now, is Jesse Ventura, like, is he a bit of a mythological a personality in the history of the state of Minnesota?
100%. 100%. I used to go shoot pistols with Jesse in a very dangerous part of town.
Come on, really? You used to shoot guns with Jesse Ventura.
Yep. I did. It was crazy. He's a crazy guy. He had an unbelievable run. He is literally a mythical creature here in Minnesota.
He was heavy into the conspiracy theories there for a while, eh?
Oh, yeah. Big time. But as we're finding out in the world, a lot of these conspiracy theories are true. I mean, it's a crazy time right now.
Oh.
We got aliens. We got bribery schemes going on. It's so hard to decipher what's real and what's not anymore. That's the problem with real news.
Kevin Lowe used to be part, I don't know if he still is. I think he is actually part of Water Keepers. We met Gord Downie from the Tragically Hip, God rest his soul, on our plane one time. He was with Water Keepers. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was on Water Keepers. And he was on Twitter the other night with Elon Musk. Is this guy going to, I mean, we're going down the proverbial rabbit hole here. I had no idea that you knew Jesse Ventura that well. But are people watching with some interest in terms of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whether or not he'll become a player in all this?
Anytime you hear that name in America, there's interest. It's just the way it is. Do I think it's serious personally? It hasn't got to that level yet, but it seems like the noise is rising pretty quickly here, to be honest with you.
Yeah, interesting. So, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's get it on the hockey rails here, Brian.
All right.
We had a significant trade yesterday occur, a complex three-way deal that has to get salary caps have to get factored in. We're going to have Hart Levine coming up a little bit later on from Puckpedia as well, and he's a CA, so he can help us break some things down as well. But I know you've broken it. How did you assess that trade overall from your perspective?
I thought it was some really great work by the LA Kings, to be honest with you, and what I thought would happen has already happened in terms of signing Gavrikov, which is not a surprise. I was a little surprised he got 5'8", but only for 2 years. Maybe that's the answer. I just like the way this sets the Kings up. You know, they've got Kopitar and Arvidsson have another year left. That's $14 million coming off the books after that. And this kind of sets them to roll into some of their prospects. it'll be interesting. I mean, getting rid of Cal Peterson, you know, who was playing in the minors, making $5 million, has another couple of years left. That's a really big flip for them. You know, I'm sure Edmonton fans take notice of that, but, you know, in Cal's case, like, I believe Jack Campbell will play better next year, so I think the Oilers will be fine with that. He'll play to a standard that's much better than it was. But for the Kings, Cal Peterson buried in the minors did not look good for them, and they found a way to get out of that, and they also found a way to do what you and I talk about all the time, Bob, and that is to try to make your roster as efficient as possible. Sean Walker's really a 6 or 7 D, a guy that was making 2.6 and a half, roughly. That's just too much for a guy in your third pair, so they also moved him out. So when I look at that trade, I evaluated it as the Kings being able to save almost 7.650. I say almost because part of Peterson's money was buried in the minors.
Yeah.
So it wasn't quite that full amount, but the end result for moving what I would consider a B prospect in Grounds and draft capital of a second rounder, that's a really smart deal by the Kings. If I were grading that deal, I would have given them an A-. I also would give that to Columbus in this deal, because I think Columbus giving up a first and a second for a guy of Provorov's ilk is pretty impressive. You know, they've got Zach Werenski as their number one D there on the left side. They can bring in Provorov. That's a pretty strong left side all of a sudden. I know that Provorov was at a low, had some off-ice issues this year in terms of not going out for warm-ups.
Yeah.
You know, some of those things hurt his value, but it was clear to me that the Flyers wanted to move on. They were able to, you know, like the Kings, they picked up Aiden Hutchinson, as you know, is a pretty good prospect. At least he could be. He didn't necessarily do it last year, but he was making $800,000, and the Flyers were able to move that deal off the books. But that's not cap space that would get me too excited if I was a GM in terms of the Flyers, because that's not on their books, just like Kevin Connaughton, who ended up in L.A. That's money that's not on their books. So I grade on this trade L.A. about an A-, Columbus an A-, and I would say Philly about a B. And you may say, how can that be? Somebody has to be on the other end of it. But not all these teams are in the same situation or trying to achieve the same goals. It was clear to me that Philly wanted to move on from Provorov, and that's why they made this deal, and they wanted to move on no matter what. Now, they did move around a lot of money, as we just said. That's another $1.2 million for Connaughton and Hodgson, but at the end of the day, I felt like Philly came out the worst of this deal.
Well, we've talked about Hayden Hodgson in the past because he was an unsigned, he was on an American Hockey League deal. Jason Smith, the former Oilers captain, and Ian LaPerriere had him in Lehigh Valley. And Brad Holland had reached out to me probably in December. And said, Stoff, you know who's having a good season in the A is Hayden Hodgson. And then he really took off. He ended up with 19 goals. He had double-digit fights. But he was on an A deal. So the Flyers ended up signing him to an NHL deal because they had to. Now, maybe you can explain to our listeners. There is a gentleman's agreement on players that are on AHL deals, but it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be honored all the time, does it? Where teams aren't supposed to poach guys that are on A deals off your AHL affiliate?
No, I think you said it the right way. It's kind of a gentleman's agreement. It has happened in the past when people have poached players, but not that often. And in this case, you know, I'd imagine there was probably anybody that's, you know, in their first year essentially scoring 19 goals. That's of interest to teams if they're not on an NHL deal. So at the end of the day, I do know at least some teams put a call in to see what the Flyers were going to do, and I feel like that ended up being a little bit of an impetus for them to go ahead and sign him.
Yeah.
But that did not have to be the case.
Yeah. Well, and he had a terrible year this year. So, I mean,
terrible year this year. So you could see why new management would come in and say, what are we doing? But that doesn't mean he's a terrible player, and I'd imagine people will still be tracking him.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to make a prediction right now. because I don't know whether or not LA is going to bring Zach MacEwen back, who was also in Philadelphia. Of course, they flipped MacEwen for Brendan Lemieux last year. If they do not bring back Zach MacEwen, I will predict that Haydn Hodgson will get games next season for the LA Kings. At some point, they're going to need a little bit of that in their lineup. And it won't hurt to have that down in the minors, because the Pacific Division of the AHL is the toughest division in the minors. There's no question about that. I mean, Calgary's got like four guys that fight for them on the Wranglers. Brian Lawton joins us right now. Brian, so the Flyers have moved Provorov. What's, new management? Are they headed down a path here where maybe they're looking at Chicago and saying this is the course of action that we're going to end up taking here that makes the most sense?
Too early to say, but, you know, this trade does not look like a typical Philadelphia Flyers trade of the past.
Right.
Not when you look at the money. I mean, Provorov, you know, his cap is only 6.75, but his compensation for the next 2 years is just above 8.5 when you add up the last 2 years left. So it's quite a bit higher. There's signing bonus stuffed in there. I think there's a $3 million payment that'll be, you know, now absorbed by Columbus and, of course, L.A., because they retain 30% of it. Then the same thing next year. There'll be more signing bonus. But that's not very Flyer-like. They're usually the team on the other end of that. So maybe this is a sign of changing times. Maybe we're going to see more of a rebuild. I think you'll have that answer when you see what the Flyers do, you know, because the best thing they got out of this deal, besides the picks, of course, was the increased cap space. Are they going to spend it? Or are they going to go the route like you're saying with Chicago? Hard to say. I don't have a guess, but I know I'll be able to tell you after free agency.
Right.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Brian Lawton for our friends at Wow Factor Desserts. Help yourself to irresistible dessert delights at their new retail location, 3508 56th Avenue in Edmonton, or click on wowfactordesserts.com. So Provorov goes to Columbus. Obviously, the reports are we're going to see Mike Babcock, once his contract runs out in Toronto, end up as the next head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Any thoughts on that?
I believe that Mike would be back. I think the experience he went through has been very humbling for him. Mike has a great resume. He's a tremendous coach. I think not unlike players, coaches get better, even coaches that are quite accomplished. I think Mike will learn a lot from what transpired. I think it was somewhat overblown, but at the end of the day, I think Mike will be a better coach for it. And I think he'll do a good job in getting Provorov. It's going to make him look like a smarter coach today than yesterday.
By the way, the listeners are paying attention. Mitch has texted us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, and he says, Bob, was there a reason Brian mentioned the $14 million coming off the cap for Kopitar and Arvidsson in a year from now? Was that an accident?
Well, I definitely could see where he's coming from, but L.A. is going to be loading up to potentially, you know, look at some of these star players that'll be getting closer to coming on the market. Of course, Edmonton has one of them in Draisaitl, but, you know, by all accounts, he loves playing there, and you think he'll continue on. Everybody's watching Austin Matthews' situation very much right now.
Yeah.
The cap is going to go up on top of all that, so, you know, you got to be really, really flexible and prepared for massive change. And I think Rob Blake took a really big step for setting LA up nicely for the future. There's no guarantee any of these star players will be available. The reality is most of them re-sign with their existing teams more than not, notwithstanding Bo Horvat. But we're talking about guys even on that next level up from Bo. And most of the time, those guys re-sign. Not always.
Well, I think Bo would have re-signed if they'd focused on signing Bo instead of JT Miller.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate by all accounts. I heard no particular reason why he didn't want to be there other than, you know, he was looking for a contract that was commensurate with what he's given the club.
And they kind of ran out of money. I mean, right now, they're the team that's got the highest cap carrying. They're over the cap next season with the team that they have right now, the Vancouver Canucks. I think now, do you have Brock Besser in the Beauty League? Is he one of those guys that's in the Beauty League in Minnesota?
Yes, he is. And I spend a little bit of time with Brock. He's a quality guy. He seems to be a guy that's continually talked about Vancouver moving on from. At $6.5 million, it's not, you know, the worst deal out there. But
right.
I wouldn't be surprised if Brock did in fact get moved by Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of how they're going to do that, how they're going to clear a little bit of cap space. And all right, so you mentioned something there, and even smaller. And I'm going to ask you to sort of rely on the time and Brian Lawton, of course, former GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, but the man that started Octagon's player agencies. Are discussions with GMs on potential free agents, are those continuous and ongoing? Obviously, the team can't reach out directly to the player. But everybody's got relationships with agents. Let's not BS each other here, right? Like, it's kind of how business is done, isn't it, Brian? Like, put it this way. If there were pending UFAs, would they have already, and the agent sits there and thinks to himself, you know, this might be a good fit if this player... I'll throw some... So Jeff Jackson's got... McDavid and Bouchard. You know the Oilers are going to be negotiating a deal with Bouchard. It's probably going to be a bridge, especially if the cap increases by a bunch next year. But he's also got Connor Brown, who's coming off an injury-riddled year in which he only played 4 games. Do agents start that process in terms of feeling out teams around the league to see if there'd be any interest for that player?
You know, interestingly, I think guys are pretty good about it, but I absolutely cannot say that, you know, those things don't come up. I used to have one GM in particular from Alberta that would always call me up and give me hints about a player that I was representing that he might want one day. But he would never say who it was, except he would describe them 15 different ways. And I would just sit there and go, just tell me who you have interest in. And he would never say it. But I knew who he had interest in. But yes, I mean, I've seen that from every angle in this business. I think the league did a good job of clamping down on it. I think they tried a bunch of different things that were deterrents. But it would be a straight out conspiracy theory if we said it never happened. How's that?
Yeah.
How's that sound? Well, it's a conspiracy theory if you think that's never happened before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when the guy signs within, you know, 10 minutes of the opening, well, it's 12:01 on July 1st, and away we go, and boom, this guy, I mean, look at how quickly Markstrom signed with the Calgary Flames, as an example. It was announced very quickly a couple of years ago. The Oilers, of course, had been rumored to have offered a 7-year deal, and Markstrom went 6x6. Well, speaking of Calgary, what do you think, you know, when you assess, you talked a bit about the Flyers, you look at Calgary, they got a lot of guys with a year left in their deals, including Lindholm and Hanifin. What do you think is going to take place that, you know, Toffoli's got a year left as well, and Daryl Sutter was this guy. Could be an interesting offseason for Craig Conroy.
Yeah, it really could be. And, well, you know, you can always look at these things, and most people choose, in my opinion, the wrong route, but it is the route of least resistance, and that is trying to retool. Even when you kind of know deep down that it's not really there, that's going to be a hard decision for Calgary, which way to go. Are they going to be a better team from last year to this year? Yeah, I think Jonathan Huberdeau will play better. Are they a Stanley Cup contending team right now? That's not for me to answer. That's for Craig Conroy and Don Maloney and the rest of their staff to figure out. But I do find that more times than not, the management makes the wrong decision, because it's tough to make unpopular decisions. You know, we faced this in Tampa. This was a team that won the Stanley Cup not that many years removed when I was there, and yet,
yep.
You know, when you're trying to move forward and you're starting to, you know, depending on what the circumstances are, for us it was first overall and the second overall in back-to-back years, and, you know, those are tough things to deal with. In Calgary's case, they don't have that, so they'd have to go even further, and it's painful to go through, and it is very, very slow-moving. People in Edmonton know this. They've seen it firsthand. Having high picks doesn't guarantee Chicago or Columbus or Anaheim that they're going to pop out of this thing in a few years. It's just not that easy.
And one final one for you on that note, just about what teams are going to do. Could Winnipeg be the most interesting team, given Hellebuck and Scheifele and Dubois?
I think right now they are by far, and people are looking to see what they're going to do. Winnipeg is one team that I would say has more of a green light than some other markets to go ahead. I think the fans there understand what's going on, and they lose one of those guys, they're likely to lose two. And if they lose two, then I'd be surprised if they didn't lose other players.
Yeah.
Hellebuck, I thought maybe LA was loading up here, take a run at Hellebuck. They very quickly turned around and signed a defenseman, as they should have, who we all thought they would. So we'll see where that goes. But Hellebuck is going to be a very, very sought-after guy. And I think it's almost certain that he's traded.
Okay, final question. What do you have to give up to get him?
As you can see with most of these deals, when you're under the gun at all now, not as much as you think.
Really?
It's not gonna, you
know, at least a number one and then another good prospect. You'd agree on that? Now, he's only got a year left. You got to get him re-signed.
Yep. No, but everybody knows where they're at. There's not that many. There's teams looking for goaltenders, but there's not that many. You got to make sure you're a market that Hellebuck wants to re-sign. And there's a lot to unpack with that. But yes, absolutely, at least the number one, and at least a couple of seconds, like we saw with Columbus, right? And they weren't both from them. There was some retained salary in that. If I were Winnipeg, I'd be asking for more than what was given up there. But it won't be easy, because Provorov comes in at under $5 million. And this is a guy that's averaged over 24 minutes a game on the back end throughout his career. That's like really impressive. Now, whether or not he can get through the rest of the things that maybe haven't been there, he hasn't had a bunch of offensive big seasons. He did have 17 goals one year. I think 41 points was his high, but Provorov's a pretty darn good player that could help a lot of teams in this league right now. But when it comes to Hellebuck, there's some challenges that Winnipeg is going to have to deal with, and I think that will reduce their return.
Interesting. Brian, great stuff. Thanks for joining us here on Oilers Now.
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you.
That's Brian Lawton for our friends at Wow Factor Desserts. Help yourself to irresistible dessert delights at their new retail location, 3508 56th Avenue in Edmonton, or click on wowfactordesserts.com. We'll tell you guests on the show receive gift cards to Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite teppanyaki steak restaurant. Book your celebration for the census at jvedmonton.ca. Hart Levine coming up next from Puckpedia after a global news weather traffic update. Randy Kilburn.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.